ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्नस्य ज्ञाननासलकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदङ्किकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपादकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितन्तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललिताशिवसंवितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्ध दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिककान्त राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते ताप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे विश्वानसुतदेवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकपतिभ्य च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ते स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादि सुतारिणे नमो ब्रह्माण्यदेवाय गोब्रह्मणीताय च जगद्धिताय कृष्णाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः. So in worshipping Krishna, we are also worshipping the cows, because Krishna and his cows are inseparable. Krishna is always thinking of the welfare of the cows, and Krishna is therefore making many arrangements so that the cows will be properly cared for. The land of Raja or the land of Vrindavan is described as Gokul, the land of the cows. Golok Vrindavan is the eternal spiritual world, is also known as the abode of the cows, the residence of the cows. When Krishna leaves early in the morning and along with his cowherd boys and all their calves and cows is entering into the forest path, it's said that there are unlimited cows and calves. So how that is all possible on this narrow forest path is inconceivable, only by Krishna's arrangement somehow or other does it all fit. It is described that rivers of cows are coming out of the Goshala. That river extends a very long distance and looks just like the Akash Ganga, the heavenly river Ganges, which is joining with the Yamuna somehow or other. Early in the morning, when Krishna awakens, the first thing is, Krishna is not one who easily wakes up. Krishna is in the morning still tired. So somehow or other, Mother Yasoda manages to wake him up and massages his body with Mahanarayan Til. And then after that, Krishna immediately goes to the to the Goshala, because all the cows are waiting there, others filled with milk, and yet they will not allow anyone to milk them. Although obviously it is getting uncomfortable with others so filled with milk. But the cows will not be milked before Krishna personally comes. When Krishna starts the milking, then all the cows allow others also to start milking. And so begins the day. Only after that does Krishna take his morning bath. So before anything, he really takes care of his cows. Today, on this day of Govardhan Puja, Krishna convinced his father to refrain from making an offering to Indra, and instead convinced his father to worship Govardhan Hill, and also the cows and the brahmanas in particular. So, therefore, Krishna made these arrangements that whatever was brought for the sacrifice for Indra would now be used in worship of Govardhan Hill. So, the residents of Vrindavan worshipped the cows and fed everyone extensively, and particularly the brahmanas, and cows were fed, the brahmanas were sumptuously fed, the cows were given very nice grasses, and after that everyone was fed. Everyone, all human beings, all animals, no species were going hungry. Everyone was provided for. That is the spirit. And in worshipping the cows, the human society is protected. In worshipping the cows, everything, life becomes auspicious. Everything provided by the cow is auspicious. The cow is offering us milk, which Srila Prabhupada emphasized many times is essential. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that the consumption of milk is important for developing finer brain tissues, which are important for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. And of course, that remains central in this movement. Even in the emergency of the modern day, where cow protection is becoming very difficult, because the world is exploiting the cow, and those who are protecting the cows are struggling to care for the cows. Still, the more cows we can protect, the better. Worldwide, wherever we can protect cows, that will be very important. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a reference to Lord Chaitanya and an astrologer who came, and Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Oh, can you please consult your astrological calculations and tell me who I was in my last life?" Then that astrologer was getting confused, because as he did his calculations, he saw that Lord Chaitanya in his last life was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, I must have made a mistake. He tried it again, but again, same result. So then he said something like that to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then said, no, that is all wrong. That is all wrong. He said, I know what I was in my last life. In my last life, I was a cowherd boy. And as a cowherd boy, because of the pious activities of taking care of the cows, therefore, in this life, I took birth as a Brahmana. And therefore, so in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simultaneously revealing his identity and simultaneously covering his identity, and also highlighting the progressive effect of worshipping the cows. Of course, that worship of the cow is not only meant for human society, that worship of the cow is the activity of the spiritual world. And that activity of the spiritual world is described in the Brahma Samhita, where it is said, Yata ksirati vrajati suravidyas chasasumahan. It is explaining that there in the spiritual sky, there are unlimited wish-fulfilling desire cows, surabi cows, also known as kamadhenus. And these cows are producing oceans of milk. There, Krishna is always involved with his cows. Then, when Krishna appears in the material world, then we see that the same spiritual world manifesting, but now in a smaller number. Like Nanda Maharaj is described to have 900,000 cows, right? Which is of course a big number, but still it's a limited number in one sense, compared to the spiritual world. It said there, when Krishna comes to the world, he performs the material world, he performs the very same pastimes of the spiritual world, and the spiritual world also manifests. When Krishna appeared, and when he was known as the son of Nanda Maharaj, then Nanda Maharaj distributed so many cows to the Brahmanas, all nicely decorated with golden horns and hoofs and with jewel necklaces, and many of such cows were given to all the Brahmanas in this way to bring auspiciousness upon Krishna. We see that when Krishna was being attacked by Putana, who came disguised as a very beautiful goddess but with poison smeared on her breast, when Putana attempted to kill Krishna, Krishna instead sucked the life air of Putana, and Putana was killed. It is described that as the child was sucking the life air from her breast, Putana felt great pain, and Putana tried to run away from the house of Nanda. Krishna held on to her breast, and then Putana crashed to the ground in her original form, which was 12 kilometers long, which is rather on the light side. So it is said that Krishna was still on the body of Putana, but now her body looked like part of a landscape, and her breasts were now like hills, and Krishna was there on that gigantic body. Quickly, the residents of Vrindavan took Krishna off the body of Putana, and somehow or other the child got saved, and immediately the elderly gopis were bathing the body of Krishna in cow urine, and they were brushing him with the tail of a calf just to ward off all the inauspicious influences that could have brought this about, that a demon was coming and possibly killing Krishna. So we can see how the residents of Vrindavan understood the auspiciousness and importance of the cows. And this is actually the highest knowledge. This is the highest understanding. I remember that once I went to Tirupati, and Revati Raman, the temple president, took me to the Goshala. And as we're coming to the Goshala, he shows me the cows, and one cow passes urine, and Revati immediately put his hand under the cow and drank it and said, "My grandmother told me whenever the cow passes urine, drink it." I said, "My grandmother didn't tell me that." I was shocked. I mean, to drink straight from the cow was a bit much for me at that point. But actually, that is the proper understanding. That is the correct culture, to drink the urine of the cow is most auspicious. Still, I'm from a country where there's a lot of milk, so we prefer milk, if I may say so. But everything about the cow is totally auspicious and totally worshipable. And in that way, blessing society. So the elderly gopis understood perfectly well. Perfectly well. It was their culture. It was their culture that they took shelter of this ritual of bathing Krishna with please forgive me for that. So that ritual which they performed, because that was the prevalent culture in Vrindavan, where the cows were considered so auspicious, so potent, that they could ward off any evil, anything like that. And that culture, that is the proper understanding. That is the proper understanding. How the cows are the greatest blessing, and how they are blessing us by their very presence. This is the proper understanding. So at the time of Govardhan, it is said that Krishna said, "After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourself handsomely, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, the brahmanas, the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill." Lord Krishna wanted all the human beings and even the animals to eat nice Bhagavat Prasad, sacrificial foods offered to the Lord. To enthuse his relatives with a festive mood, he requested them to dress beautifully with fine cloth and ornaments, and to refresh their bodies with luxurious sandalwood paste. The essential activity, however, was the circumambulation of the holy brahmanas, cows, sacrificial fires, and especially Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill also has been described as Govardhan. And Govardhan Go means cows, and Vardhan means to increase. So Govardhan is there to increase the pleasure and the health of the cows by producing so many grasses and fresh water, and in this way, perfectly providing for the health of Krishna's cows. Govardhan is described as Haridasa Varya, as the greatest servant of the Lord. At the same time, when Lord Chaitanya was given a Govardhan Shila, and that is described in Antyalila number 6, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Govardhan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Some have found that very puzzling. How is Govardhan described as as the greatest of servants, and at the same time as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I don't personally see such a problem with that, because Balaram is also the Supreme Lord and yet acting as a servant, and Ekala Iswara or Sarvabhichi Ariyacha Naichya or Tarakaicha Naichya. The Lord manifests himself in unlimited forms, but amongst these forms there is one form on which all others depend. That is the form of Krishna. So in this way, Govardhan is Krishna, but now manifesting in the mode of a servant. And in this way, we are worshipping Govardhan as Krishna. While Krishna is worshipping the cows are naturally worshipping Krishna. The cows are naturally drawn towards Krishna. Krishna is their life and soul. We find in Bhagavatam how it is described that the cows, upon seeing Krishna, become stunned, right? Frozen. They just stand there frozen and are just looking at Krishna, drinking in. There's also a description in the about that in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which goes in a little more detail. And then it says, when Krishna plays his flute, then at a distance, when the cows hear that sound, their ears, like cups, are standing up, trying to get that sound, which is now very, very faint, because they hear it from a very great distance. But still, it is unmistakably the sound of Krishna playing his flute. So the cows are drawn into that sound, and as they are coming closer and the sound is getting louder and louder, it begins to overwhelm them to a point where it becomes difficult to keep their life air together. Therefore, the cows take a blade of grass in their mouths as a sign of humility. Go before Krishna and beg him to stop playing his flute. And then Krishna just continues. And then as a result, these cows, they just freeze on the spot. They cannot move anymore. And then they stand there like statues. The peacocks, on the other hand, they dance, right? They dance. Krishna is the musician and they are the dancers. So they dance and they are very, very pleased. And after Krishna is playing, they come before him and thank him so much. And as a gift, they offer him the peacock feather. So in this way, all the residents of Vrindavan are ecstatically connected to Krishna. Mm-hmm. The cows are described to have different shapes and colors. There are different herds. There are herds who are known as Mirdanga Mukhi. They have a head like a Mirdanga. right? The Merdanga monkeys. There's another herd that has natural tilak, right? And they are. And Krishna knows all the names of his 108 herds of cows. It is said that at Ter Kadamba, Krishna would sit in a kadamba tree and take his japamala out, which is made of jewels. And then Krishna would chant on his 108 beads, calling all the names of the cows. Whereas we are calling the names of Krishna, he calls the 108 names of the leaders of the cows. And in that way, counting to make sure that all his cows are there. So Krishna, as a cowherd boy, is always making arrangements in the interest of his cows. Not only of the cows, we also see that Krishna protects the brahmanas and his devotees, even more so than the brahmanas, because his devotees are even more important than the brahmanas. The brahmanas are representing Vedic literature, but we see that the residents of Vrindavan, they understood the pure essence of all Vedic literature, because they worship Krishna with pure love, right? And that is of a higher nature than merely understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Higher than that is understanding that Krishna is not only the origin of everything, aham sarvashivabhavo matasavam pavartate iti matabhajantam, but to worship him buddha bhava samanvita, with love, with ecstasy. That is the essential understanding. So in this way, the worship of Krishna is unmatched when it comes to the worship of the residents of Vrindavan, who are dedicating, who are cowherd men and women. So as Vaishyas, all their activities are dedicated to the protection of the cows. Then, in the midst of that Vrindavan, one day, Nanda Maharaj was making an arrangement, and all the cowherd men under his direction were bringing so many ingredients, and it was clear that some ritual or some sacrifice was to be performed. So Krishna asked, he said, "Father, what is happening? What is going on?" He said, "Are you performing some ritual, some sacrifice? Please tell me all about it. Why are you doing this? What is the meaning of all this? Is this some tradition or is this a scriptural thing? I mean, what is it actually?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "Krishna, just be quiet, you know, and let us carry on with our arrangements. Really, you can't understand all these things, right?" But Krishna, he persisted, and finally Nanda Maharaj began to explain, "Well, it is a sacrifice for Indra, because Indra is very important, because without rain there's nothing, no living being that can exist. All food grains depend on rain, therefore all living beings are depending on rain. So we are worshipping Indra for this purpose." Then Krishna began to argue. And he argued according to the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, where he basically pointed out that, why do you worship Indra? What is the point? It doesn't make any sense. Because Indra, the demigods, they are simply reciprocating with the karma of the living being. When there is punya, when there's pious activity, good karma, then they will give benedictions according to that karma. When the karma is not there, then they cannot give any benedictions. Therefore, it is actually not the demigods who are the cause of all these benedictions, it's actually the karma that is the cause. The demigods are simply supplying according to the karma. So it's the karma that is the cause. And actually everything in this world is controlled by karma. And when things are not working out favorably, then that is due to bad karma. Therefore, it is karma that is the enemy. It is karma that is the problem. Therefore, we should resolve this karma by improving our pious activities. Now, our main activity is protecting the cows. And that is our pious activity. And then, if we protect the cows, it is Govardhan. It is Govardhan that provides everything sufficiently. Therefore, we depend on Govardhan. Therefore, we should worship Govardhan. And after all that, Nanda Maharaj, who was obviously not a philosopher, who was a cowherd man, who was... He didn't understand that what Krishna was speaking, that he was speaking karma mimamsa philosophy. That was something that went over his head. I made a few notes, and it said that according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord represented 6 theoretical points in this chapter. 1. That karma alone is sufficient to determine one's destiny. 2. That one's conditioned nature is the supreme controller. 3. That the modes of nature are the supreme controller. That the Supreme Lord is simply a dependent aspect of karma, and that he is under the control of karma, and that one's occupation is the actual worshipable deity. So, yes, that basically our work, everything depends on our work. So this is gross materialism, because our work, it may attract the good fortune. Lakshmi Devi may be attracted by the work of a person, and so supply pious activities. But ultimately, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the supreme controller, and without his sanction, nothing is provided, nothing is available. And he is the ultimate provider of everything. And it doesn't depend just on our work alone. It depends on his mercy as well. Karmana daiva netrine netrena jantu deyubhapajate. We are in these material bodies both under the influence of karma and under the daiva influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he desires. Now when we reject devotional service, we may be under the influence of karma, but as soon as one takes up devotional service, one rises above this karma and comes directly under the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he takes charge of our life. He may still use diminished reactions of karma for our purification, but he's not bound by that. He is not bound to give us diminished reactions of karma. He can remove them as he likes, or he could even act independent from karma and add obstacles on our path for the sake of pastimes, if he so desires. Therefore, ultimately, everything is in the hands of Krishna. Sometimes this question comes up, is it karma or is it Krishna? When something happens to us, oh, that's your karma. No, it's Krishna. Ultimately, even if there's a diminished reaction of karma, ultimately Krishna is behind that diminished reaction of karma. and sanctioning it. Therefore, it is ultimately Krishna. As this morning, K.C. Damana reminded me of the bull Dharma, who stood there, and Kali had already attacked him, and Maharaj Pariksit appeared, and then Maharaj Pariksit asked him, "Who did this? Who is the cause of your condition?" And then the bull Dharma said, "It's hard to say. It could be karma, could be providence." Said, "But ultimately nothing happens without the sanction of the Supreme Lord." And that is to be understood. So the devotees thoroughly understand this. Anyway, Nanda Maharaj was convinced, not only by Krishna's arguments, but by his extraordinary personality. Krishna was so effulgent. Krishna was so powerful. Krishna, his very presence was so overwhelming. Therefore, although Krishna was only 7 years old and a child, and normally an adult would not take a child so seriously, but because of Krishna's overwhelming presence, Nanda Maharaj became swept up. He just became swept up in Krishna's determination. Whether the arguments fully registered or not, that to an extent made sense, and then yes, all right, and Krishna's enthusiasm and determination and his whole personality, all right, then yes, then we will worship Govardhan Hill. And so they did. Then, of course, Indra became so upset, and then, of course, Indra lost his good sense and his pious qualities, and Indra decided that he would basically send the Samvartaka clouds, which are used for the final dissolution, the final destruction of the entire universe. So that's surprising. How could Indra do that? I mean, it at this point come up, and after the whole situation is over, after Krishna has lifted, put back Govardhan Hill back, and everything is returned to normal. Then after some days, Krishna comes there to inspect the damage on the back of Govardhan, because as Krishna had lifted Govardhan for 7 days on his little finger, then Indra was so upset that he had just released this thunderbolt on Govardhan. And so Krishna had come to see the damage, and then Indra was there, and then they met. And then Krishna said, Indra, you are supposed to be my devotee. How could you act like this? He said, "Well, I was proud. I was proud. Yes, but a devotee is supposed to curb his pride with intelligence." "Yes," Indra said, "but I was angry, so I lost my intelligence." Then Krishna just gave him a look. You know, he just looked at him like... Krishna was not impressed. Not impressed with that answer. Although it is true that due to his anger, he lost his intelligence. But it is mentioned in a very poetic way, the acharyas say that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to cut down the mountain of pride of Indra. And so by lifting a hill, he just took down another mountain. That is very interesting. Yes. Krishna held that hill for 7 days. And the most wonderful thing is that, of course, at that time, Govardhan Hill was bigger than it is now. The Harivamsa is giving us a lot of a description of Govardhan Hill being so high that it would stick out into the heavenly regions, and that sometimes the Gandharvas who would be flying on their Vimanas would bump into Govardhan. That's how high Govardhan was. So, of course, we know that Govardhan was cursed to shrink with a mustard seed every day, but that still would not have brought Govardhan down so much. It is said that after Krishna's disappearance, Govardhan shrunk. Govardhan, in separation of Krishna, just started to withdraw its presence and disappear into the earth. So in this way, Govardhan is getting smaller. These days I'm getting worried that Govardhan is getting smaller very quickly because of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because everyone is just taking shilas of Govardhan. And sometimes you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read stories how Lord Chaitanya walked on the road and how the devotees took the whole took some dust off the road, and in the end there was no more road. Yeah? So in the same way, I'm thinking, are we going to take Govardhan home? Yeah? Will there be any Govardhan left if everyone is taking a Govardhan Shila? Lord Chaitanya worshipped the Govardhan Shila, but then he gave the Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das. But Raghunath Das was in the renounced order. So the renounced order is not really able to have a house, right? And therefore not able to have deities and all these things. So, okay, they can worship Govardhan. But the householders can have deities, so they don't need to go and collect Govardhan. But if you do want to worship Govardhan, then why not just find a shila that is already outside of Vrindavan and not cared for, such a shila. Otherwise, or take sannyas, then you'll have my blessings. Because Govardhan is very important, no, to us. Govardhan, when Krishna lifted Govardhan, the amazing thing was that all the residents of Raja, all the cows, somehow or other fit under Govardhan Hill. That is another very important point. And it is so because Krishna made it possible. Otherwise, by dimensions, they would not have fit. If he would have calculated the volume of cows and the volume of residents of Vrindavan, that would have not been mathematically possible to fit under that hill. But some or other, by Krishna's arrangement, all these residents easily fit comfortably. And that is very essential. In this way we see that Govardhan Hill is representing that Krishna is protecting his devotees. Krishna can give unlimited shelter. There's no limit to the shelter Krishna gives. Krishna can give shelter to anyone and everyone fully. Krishna can provide full shelter. Krishna not only can protect us from danger, but can give us fulfillment. To really give shelter means to give fulfillment, to provide everything that our heart may desire. So that is another element that I would like to highlight in the Govardhan pastime. Krishna giving shelter, Govardhan giving shelter, as Govardhan giving shelter to all the residents of Vrindavan and everyone fit. So that is the nature of Krishna. Everyone fits. Srila Prabhupada always had that spirit. When people would say there is overpopulation and how can the earth provide, right? Prabhupada didn't entertain that at all, overpopulation. Right? Prabhupada said, I've traveled everywhere around the world and there is so much vacant land and there are and if we simply cultivate that land, maintain cows, then there's ample of food for everyone. It is the modern civilization, or modern, the Ugra Karma civilization, the civilization which is based on factories, on nuts and bolts. Prabhupada in the purports in the first canto refers to the factories as the dungeons of the demons, and describes about Ugra Karma, horrible work meant to destroy the world. But if we simply will take to the protection of the cows and simply take to tilling the fields, then there's no shortage. There's ample of foodstuffs. And the Supreme Lord can provide. And that is the proper approach in life, in this world, to somehow or other adjust our lifestyle to the same lifestyle that Krishna showed in his village in Vrindavan. I had the good fortune of spending time quite a number of years in Vrindavan, and I saw how the villagers come with their bullock carts to the marketplace and how they bring their load and how the villagers are driving all night. And on one occasion there was such a bullock cart driving at night. Now traffic in India is dangerous, very dangerous. And there were like two drivers coming from opposite directions, and one driver was nodding off while steering his vehicle. No, that looks very serious. That's like, you know, one of those accidents that do happen. But in this case, no problem, because the driver was driving a bullock cart. And bullock carts are not stupid, they have eyes, you know. So they didn't smash into each other. Bullock walked past and the driver was nodding off. Sometimes even the drivers go in the back and sleep under a blanket, because the bullock knows where to go, been there hundreds of times. And then in the day, after a good meal, the bullock sleeps and the human beings work and sell the goods, and at night they go back. That's village life. So very simple and very effective. And if we could just have more of that, that is the future. Now we may all, for the sake of preaching, use all kinds of modern things, like I've got here one of these electronic monsters, which helps me to, because my memory is useless. But we are using all these things to get rid of them, using computers, using phones, tablets, to get rid of them. Yeah. using cars to get rid of cars, using all these things to make a world which will just be like Vrindavan, a world where everywhere the cows are being protected, where everywhere they're given nice grasses, and then we don't have to worry. Then the earth will provide, and no more drought, no more anadristi. Then there will be abundance, and no one will be deprived. And that is the actual proper understanding of this day. Everything depends on the worship of the Supreme Lord, on the worship of the cows, the brahmanas, tilling the fields. And in that way, everything will become auspicious. And on this planet, the conditions, it's Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam, of such a yuga can return. Sometimes he says traitor, sometimes he says such a yuga. So in this way, the whole influence of Kali can disappear and you can get a perfect society. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mission, to create that perfect society on this earth. And then at the end of this life, everyone can go back to Goa and there be involved in Krishna's eternal pastime with Govardhan, the cows, and so on. Thank you very much.